This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are chatting to Linda Trim, who is a director at Giant Leap, to unpack this conversation further. Linda, good evening and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Sure. I mean, Linda, simply just on the headline, recession blackouts could see the grade return to offices in 2023. Let's hear it.
So I think even prior to the blackouts, people have been struggling with hybrid. It is something that's difficult to work. But one of the things we battle with the most is trust, with people being at home and people being at the office. And we're very dependent on technology for a hybrid way or flexible way of life. With load shedding at home, it's impossible for people to keep up with the demands of keeping everything charged, keeping Wi-Fi, and being accessible to their leaders or the people that they work with.
Mm. And I mean, you know, we're also seeing, of course, you know, a report that did come from Microsoft saying that, you know, number of meetings per week had increased 153% globally for the average Teams user since the start of the pandemic. And 42% of the workers were multitasking during those meetings as well. And so on the one side, you know, we understanding the things that are driving burnout, because when do you even think, you know, and code switching as well. I think there was additional research that came out around the impact of code switching on productivity as well as mental health as well.
People are definitely suffering from digital overwhelm, and that Microsoft survey confirmed it. So firstly, people are facing burnout. Secondly, they're not focused on the task at hand. So although they might be producing more, they're certainly not as effective or coming out with the right solution, which has a huge impact on mental health. And it's the one thing we actually need to try to avoid after the past few years.
Mm. Sure. And I mean, I think, you know, there is a little bit of research also that did come through that was looking at particularly the cost of absenteeism and cost of presenteeism to the South African economy. And one of the things that were interesting there is, of course, presenteeism costing the economy close to R1 billion per annum. And presenteeism is exactly also then going to start to translate into exactly this code switching, multitasking. Then ultimately people are here, but they're not really here because there's just so much that needs to be, you know, translated into, you know, I guess, meaningful outcomes, etc. And of course, they're trying to sort out all the, you know, other issues that I do want to touch on kind of failures of trust, etc. But we're seeing, you know, as you're saying, that people are working, but productivity levels are not translating.
You're spot on. And the difficulty with everything that you've said is that by keeping people at home, it's definitely very different when people can be seen and heard. So that creates a stressor in itself.
Mm.
And people feel the affection or connection with one another when they come together in person. And I think that's what's happened when people have come back to the office for a few days. Then they start to come more and more because they start to enjoy it more and they feel left behind. It creates a kind of FOMO that other people are getting ahead in their career and you're not by staying at home.
Sure. And I mean, and so really, I think just bringing it back to, I guess, one, it has been a conversation that any corporate who thinks that we could go back to what was are not being pragmatic or realistic with themselves. But at the same time, when you think about it, is that in South Africa, services particularly is the one sector that does offer the flexibility to be able to work remotely. That's also the sector that's been growing the most and contributing now, I think, the largest share of GDP as well. And so specifically then in that particular sector, it's really then going to get incredibly difficult for us to try and do the great reset and going back to factory settings.
So I think what's so important to keep in mind is that if you think you're going to bring people back to what they had before, it's going to be a complete failure.
Mm.
Attraction and retention of people are key, and they want to come back to either a new office or a new environment where they feel that they've actually been cared about and thought about.
Sure.
So nothing will be the same. And flexibility, I think we'll never lose. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm stuck in traffic or I have to go somewhere, I'll dial in. But that said, people also want to see you either on certain days of the week or for a certain percentage of the month.
Just reflecting on, of course, just, you know, looming recessionary pressures. We heard from the Reserve Bank governor that they're modeling that we'll only grow at 0.3% for the year. And really, I think just giving you the sense around just, you know, how much pressure then that translates into corporates and their expectations of their own output as well. And then how that translates, of course, trickles down into how they treat employees in the context of this, you know, difficult time on blackouts as well. And, you know, trying to wake up at 4 a.m. to charge your devices and then your batteries don't recharge enough and all of those things. And it's really, I think, becoming quite a massive, massive pressure point at this point in time. And Linda, just to bring you back into the conversation, I mean, you know, as you were talking about kind of new office, new environment, I actually thought about this idea of like spatial planning in the context of the corporate today. You know, we saw, you know, we've seen kind of different kind of seasons of things happening in corporate. There was a season where, you know, it was hot desks and then it was open plan this and everyone flat structures that they were calling it and all of these things. And all of a sudden, it's almost like now there's a return to the kind of, you know, the old days where people want the offices again. Now they want to come back and have, you know, quiet spaces to be able to conduct, you know, themselves in a professional context. What is the new image of the corporate going to look like going forward, given that, as you said, is that, of course, now people are going to come in and out of the office. So it's like a revolving door. And how do you resource for that sensibly in the context of the office space?
So attraction and retention of staff is your key factor. So it needs to be an experience for people to come to the office and a draw card for employees. So a lot of that goes around flexibility and providing different spaces for people to choose where they want to work when. Mm. But that said, it can also be very simple things like the cup of coffee you offer your people when they come to the office, or how easy it is to get into the building, how easy it is to book a desk or to choose. And people want areas to focus. People want areas to meet. Technology has become vital. None of us can live without it. So having tech that connects easily, it's seamless, and that your day can be a journey of ease from beginning to end until you go home.
Sure. And I mean, I think, and then also just getting back into the, you know, one of the points that you made earlier about, you know, particularly the trust deficit that then has emerged in the context of this hybrid work from home type of setup. If then we make peace, Linda, that we can't go back to factory settings. Should we then not be reimagining new modes and models for trust, right? Because I guess it was that whole thing that I see you. I see you're busy. I see you at your desk. I see how long you take your coffee breaks for, etc. And that was, you know, also, I guess, quite dictatorial when you think about it in spirit. And now we're in this space and we're trying to respond and say something has shifted underneath our feet. And so the models and modes of trust should look different. What are the ideas that should be coming around kind of rejigging and coming back with new design models for building work-based trust models?
So, you know, many of the companies overseas have come up with tracking, where if you work from home, they can track the hours you're online or how many hours you work. And obviously, people have hated it. It feels like Big Brother watching you all day long. Where at the office, you can be present and people can see you. But I think one of the most important things for people with trust is neurologically, people crave certainty. So if a company takes a stand on a return to work policy, people have clarity on what that trust means. Mm. So if I'm expected to be at the office 3 days a week, I know I need to do that. If it's the whole week, but at least you clear, you know where you stand and a proper boundary.
Sure. And I mean, I think, you know, and this is to the point that I was making earlier about also then the implication on policy design but particularly in the context of the corporate, because, you know, you've got now new policies that must emerge, but those create a labor dynamic and the labor law dynamic. And I remember when we were trying to model, we're literally just trying to figure out, it says, how do you, quote unquote, force people to come home? And when we tried to then go through the process and understand the legal ramifications of that workplace policy and trying to force that onto people, that was creating a big labor dynamic, you know, headache. And so now all of a sudden this environment we're in is also creating complexity around that. And so as much as people want certainty and clarity, the execs or the senior management in the business also now doesn't know how to respond in a way in which it can give clarity and certainty when the labor dynamic itself is now becoming more complex.
It's hugely problematic because to try to be flexible and cater to everybody's needs is impossible. So a one-size-fits-all was a much easier solution, except employees got a lot more powerful over COVID and now demand flexibility, which is fair to them. And the biggest thing that we've learned is productivity. It doesn't matter how many hours you work. If you're not effective, it doesn't matter how productive you are.
Mm.
So it's a lot better to work for fewer hours, meet the right people and do the right kind of work than it is to have this digital overload and overwhelm.
I love how you say the workers got their power back. I'm on.
They're losing it a little bit with
Eskom.
But
oh, no. Eskom is now chipping away at their bargaining power and really, I think, forcing. And all these new buzzwords that are coming, right? So it's the great return. It's quiet quitting. It's all of these things as well. And again, it's just, for me, it's really surfacing something that probably has been bubbling under around, I guess, you know, the culture conversation. And we've
been petrified.
You know, and organizational culture is now organizations have to look at it as a differentiating factor. It's an employee value proposition in and of itself. And now how do you actually start to think and say, actually, when we approach our own culture in a certain way, it actually can, you know, take away the burden behind these words, the great return, you know, et cetera, in the way in which also it isn't necessarily always associated with good feelings from an employee point of view.
And that's why you've got to bring people back to something different. And the way you bring them back must be an experience for their first day back in the office to see that they've been thought about, they cared about, and that it's different. And in fact, I'm just reading the Wall Street Journal half an hour ago. LinkedIn, only 13% of job postings are remote today worldwide. That's how to change.
Sure. What is that number again?
13.2% of postings advertised in LinkedIn last month were remote jobs worldwide.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And it was 50% in the heart of COVID.
I didn't expect that. That's what's just like, what's that number again? That's surprising. And I guess it is the point you're making that just trying to balance this whole thing, I think, is proving quite difficult for organizations at this point in time. And really, I think for me, here's an interesting one. And I mean, it came up at Davos last year and I think the year before as well. And how the care economy hasn't been translated into, the GDP numbers as we read it. But also because that care economy is important because women specifically have tended to serve as primary unpaid caregivers as well. And that now resulting, of course, in a new pressure point around how they have to continue being these unpaid caregivers while trying to, of course, be productive employees in the other context as well.
I mean, I hope that through COVID we've learned and different positions have been created for primary caregivers to still be able to work from home and do different jobs. I do think it's changed our mindsets around that.
Mm.
But if you want to be a power-hungry woman, it's not going to be able to stay at home full-time.
If you want to be a power-hungry woman. Linda, thank you very much and wishing you a lovely evening further.
You too. Bye.
Our listener, that was Linda Trim. She is a director at Giant Leap. And of course, we were just having some reflections on, of course, I guess, looming, pressure points that organizations are facing on the back of lower growth context. But also, you know, we are seeing a drop in productivity, often looked at in terms of an economic measure of total factor productivity, but that translates into beyond just workplace type of productivity views as well. But those are some of the numbers that are captured even at a Stats SA level. And also, how is this then resulting in new cultures emerging from a corporate point of view?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.